Our scriptures tonight are in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, part of the story of Gideon. So that's Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 and 11 to 15, and then over to Judges 7, verses 9 to 15. So starting in chapter 6. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And then over to chapter 7. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up. Go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." This is the word of the Lord.
So as you saw there, our text today is from Judges chapter 6 and 7. It's a long story, that's why we just picked some verses there for you to follow along. And if you have your Bible, keep it there, chapter 6, chapter 7. I'll be mentioning some of verses on that text. On April 3rd, 2004, news of a soldier killed in action in the Middle East was reported. Pat Tillman. While every loss is tragic and we mourn each one of them, Tillman's story stood out. A former NFL player for the Arizona Cardinals. Tillman had it all. Fame, success, and a multi-million-dollar contract. Yet, after the September 11 attacks, he chose a different path. At the age of 25, he walked away from the football field to enlist as an Army Ranger, earning about $18,000 per year. His quiet decision to serve his country culminated in his death in Afghanistan in 2004. In the wake of his death, his agent described him not as an impact player, as the football business was looking for, but as an impact person. Someone who made a difference being the ordinary. He swam against the current. He marked those who knew him. This reflections on his life, on his extraordinary choices, led to a parallel discussion about lesser known yet extraordinary choices due to their faith on God. This reflection on Thelma's extraordinary choices led to a parallel discussion about lesser known yet impactful figures from the Old Testament. Like this football player, these figures were ordinary individuals who made extraordinary choices due to their faith in God. As you heard from our text again, we look into Gideon's life, a seemingly unremarkable man who made significant choices based on his trust in God. His story offers for sure some lessons on trusting God and leaving a lasting mark despite being a simple, ordinary person. So the first lesson that we can find on this text, it goes from verses 1 to 6 on chapter 6. God uses tough times to get our attention. So in this chapter, we find the nation of Israel coming off a time of relative ease, a time like we also experience when the bills are paid, the kids are behaving, and business is good. Everything is coming up with roses. Things are good. They even smell good. So, and as it tends to happen to us in such times like this, the Israelites fell in the trap and they forgot about God. They became self-sufficient. They didn't need God. So the Lord shook things up by rousing an enemy against them to show them how hard life can be without Him. Their suffering went for 7 years. Finally, something clicked, and they remembered what God had done for them and how faithful God has been to them. They cried out to the Lord for help. So, the question is, why did they wait so long to turn to the Lord? And I believe that they are a lot like us, even though we don't want to be like them, right? And I remember growing up, I used to read this story about the Israelites one day praising God, the other day just, you know, disobeying Him and falling away from Him. And then they would suffer. They would come back to God. So, but they waited until every possible option they had played out, until they couldn't take it any longer. The Israelites became a poverty-stricken nation because of the Midianites. And they finally cried out to the Lord. So how many times have hard circumstances come to us and we complain, we resist, we cry, we question, why us? Right? We don't deserve this. And we forget to stop, to think, and to ask God, what's He planning? What are You planning, God, for me and for us in these circumstances? Instead, we hold out, thinking that we can handle it on our own. Learn this from Gideon. Every experience in life is a test. And every trial in the lives of God's people is tailored to draw us closer and closer to God. So here's the point. When tough times come, instead of looking at them as if God is punishing us, we need to try to see them as a gift of grace from God. He wants our attention. He wants us, and He wants us wholeheartedly. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So, if you're facing some challenges, okay, ask God, what do you have for me on this? What's your final goal here, Lord? Please help me to understand. And I'm sure that He will help you with that. And the second thing is that God sees more than we do. From verses 7 to 12 in chapter 6 there. So, do you have problems to understand this? In the Bible story, His plan included a most unlikely man named Gideon. We meet Gideon in verse 11 there, where he's threshing some wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. He was working like a coward, hiding himself in the underground where the wine press was, hoping to avert the attention of those, the enemies. As we see him in that position, it is a pitiful sight, full of frustration, discouragement, and of course, fear. And in case, if you ever wonder if God has a sense of humor, listen to this. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Oh boy. Can you imagine Gideon looking around? Okay, where is the mighty warrior? I cannot see him here. So, he had no idea that the angel was addressing him. Right? So, but was God being sarcastic? Or did he see more than what Gideon saw? I believe that, yes, he saw what he was about to do in the life of Gideon. He was going to make something very powerful on his life. It was time for that coward man to see it too. So, how about you? Who are with us today here? Do you know who you really are? One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that God only uses special people. Without ourselves, we even doubt that God is capable to use us. Right? We don't feel like we can do things. But the worst thing is to doubt that God can. Of course He can. And here is why. You are God's child. You are His friend and His masterpiece. You have been justified. You have been freed forever from condemnation from God. You are adopted into His family, and you are citizens in His heaven. You belong to Him, and you are never to be separated from His love. And you have everything from Him, everything that you need for your life. And you are to live a godless life, a godliness life, sorry. God knows who you are, even if you don't. And He will work to help you to see your true identity. And that will happen even if He needs to bring some pain to show it to you. So, my warning to you, don't resist. Because He's God, and He will win. He will win the battle, you can be assured of that. So, if you want to avoid the pain, obey. Just obey Him.